And I don't know where my sidekick is tonight. She's supposed to already be here. So I'm going to try this from here. There we go. No. Okay, I'm going to try it. We'll see. Prophecy in the New Covenant. You know, I've said many times, and people have heard me say, that too many of God's people are trying to live in the New Covenant on the Old Covenant level. Now think of that just for a second. They're trying to live in the New Covenant on the Old Covenant level, and especially when it becomes to the sense of prophecy. And hopefully tonight we can provide some light on that issue and this issue of prophecy in the New Covenant. And before I deal directly with the prophecy part, let me direct your attention to one matter that is very crucial to New Covenant understanding. And it has to do with who Jesus is. Who Jesus really is and how that applies to God's new creation. You know, there's never been a covenant quite like the New Covenant. And we need to kind of know why. Paul said in Colossians 2 and 9, he said, All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Colossians 2 and 9. This is what that expression means. It means that Jesus is fully God. That Jesus is fully God. And the word for fullness in the Greek is pleroma. Pleroma. Oh, I think I have that too. Yeah. And it means fullest measure. It speaks of the fullest measure. So therefore, Christ is the absolute full measure of all God is. And so theologians refer to this fullness as the plenitude of divine perfection. Which is a mystery. It is a mystery to be understood with the heart, but not always fully to understand in the mind. So why Jesus was and is fully man, He was and is fully God. And to know what God is exactly like, we look to Jesus. And so Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Now let's see how that affects New Covenant believers, you and I. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 15. John chapter 1 and verse 15. John the Baptist speaking. In verse 15, he says, John testified about him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And then John adds in verse 16, For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Did you catch that? Did you catch that last part of verse 16? The apostle said of his pleroma, of his fullness, that we have all received it. We've received grace upon grace. John's not saying that we're little Jesuses. John's not saying that we have become gods. What John is saying is that the full measure of who Christ is, the full measure of Christ's Spirit, the full measure of the finished work on the cross, the full measure now belongs to you. Oh, amen. The full measure of who God is now belongs to me. It abides in every believer. Today. And it is because of this full measure of the cross that grace continues, the Bible says, to follow grace. Grace upon grace. Because of that measure, we follow grace upon grace in our very lives. See, the point is pretty simple, that no believer gets just a little bit of Jesus and then goes on to experience a fuller measure later. Have you heard that before? You'll get a little more of it as you go. No believer every believer receives the full measure of the Spirit of Christ at the moment of their birth from above. At the very moment of that birth. And failure to understand that is the platform of all of these never quite arriving doctrines. I'm almost there. No believer in the New Covenant is ever told that we have to measure up to Christ. Did you know that? You know why? Because we've already measured up to Christ. And you say, I don't know about that, preacher. But the Bible tells us that we have the plenitude of the divine perfections placed up on our account. What is left is for us as believers to grow up in wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul says that in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is what growing up in Christ is speaking to. It's what it means. No believer can get more of Jesus than you already have. We have His fullness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 reminds us that we're to grow up in all aspects of Him. Karen, I need you. And I'm way behind. I confuse myself trying to do it. I apologize. I realize how easy it would be to twist all of this out of shape, but the fact remains simple. All of God's children have the same full measure of Christ in their life. All of God's children have the same full measure of Christ in their life. All of God's children. Do we understand that? That we all have the same measure. We all have the same full measure. There's nothing left over that we must later receive. There's nothing that we must wait for. It's the understanding that becomes the underpinning for a fruitful walk in the new covenant. You have to understand that in order to walk in the new covenant. It is that understanding that keeps believers from needing to find a prophet to go talk to. It's that understanding that keeps believers from needing to find a prophet that'll give them a word from the Lord. And that's what the Old Testament gave us, right? And in the New Testament, there are no prophets on the order of the former covenant. Why is that? Because the need for that kind of prophet no longer exists. Why? Because God speaks to each of His children through His Son. God speaks to you. And God speaks to me. Now that doesn't mean the Lord can't address us through the speaking of others. Brother Bob was addressing me at lunch today. He was speaking to me. So people speak through others. We address each other through each other. He does that often. Yet all of God's children, all of those that profess faith, have the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And because of that indwelling, when believers are in fellowship and they're just sharing about what Jesus has done in their life, and they're just sharing about God's Word from one to another, that is life flowing. That is a word from God. When you express what God is doing in your life, that's life flowing. When you hear what God is doing in somebody's life, I don't know about you, but when I hear about what God is doing in somebody's life and they're giving God credit for it, it just makes me perk up. It makes me say, wow, that is so cool. I want to do that too. I want to go tell people what God's doing in my life. And that is the way that we directly affect each other when we're able to talk about what God is doing inside of my life. It is a life flow. It is the life flow in our speech. There's one scripture that expressingly defines the heart of essence of prophecy in the new covenant. Now I'm not talking about where Paul said about exhortation or edification, but it's when the angel told John not to fall down before him. He told John why too. He told John, do not do that. Why? Because I'm a fellow servant of yours. and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus, he said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. It's the spirit of prophecy. I want you to know that the Greek word for testimony is marturia. Marturia. And that word means the evidence given. The evidence given is in the heart, and it's in speaking in the true believer. The evidence is what comes out of my mouth when I'm speaking about Jesus Christ, when I'm telling you what He's done in my life. That's the evidence in my life. Paul said that the Spirit testifies to His own spirit, and that we are the children of Almighty God. John said that we have that testimony inside of us. So when we're speaking for and we're speaking about Jesus, it is the spirit of prophecy at work. When we're speaking about religion, then the spirit of prophecy is not at work. The spirit of prophecy is through Jesus Christ. Jesus describes new covenant believers in John chapter 7, in verse 38 and 39. He describes our life. He said, He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you might add, from another reference, I found this, from his innermost being will flow the spiritual and living testimony of Jesus Christ himself. The fact again is that the Holy Spirit enters the heart. He enters the heart of the believing person as the Spirit of the resurrected, as the Spirit of the ascended, as the Spirit of the glorified, as the Spirit of Jesus. And the finished work of the cross becomes a present reality within our heart. And our salvation is then complete. I've had people ask me this before, how saved are you? What? How saved are you? How do you answer that? How complete are you? And Paul says that we've already been raised up and seated together with Christ in heavenly places. You can't get more saved than that. Which brings us back to the issue of new covenant prophecy. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. Let's turn over there. I know you've read this 1,000 times, but I always like to go back to Hebrews. Chapter 1 and verse 1. It goes back to exactly what we're talking about tonight. Here's what the book of Hebrews begins with. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. And these last days has spoken to us, how? In His Son, whom He appointed, heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. God, after that, He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. In these last days has spoken to you and I through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He appointed heir of all things, all there is, through whom He made the world. Notice that the Old Testament prophetic ministry is a thing of the past. It's no longer required. We don't need that anymore. We have passed out of the shadow into the reality. We can now hear Jesus for our very own self. And I'm so thankful for that. That I can approach my Savior anytime I want to. I don't have to go to a deacon or an elder or a priest or a prophet or a music director, I can do it myself. The redemption revelation in the Old Testament came in bits and pieces, and it came to us in bits and pieces by way of prophets. And what they had in part, we now have in full measure. we have it all. The Father no longer speaks to us through an Old Testament prophet. He speaks to all of His children through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we hear Jesus say to unbelievers in John chapter 10, the 26th verse, I think. It says, But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Yep, 26 through 28. My sheep hear my voice. Who is my? Who is my? And I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. If you don't have something underlined in your Bible, that's something to stick on your mirror right there. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not perish. I have given them eternal life. The entire book of the book of Hebrews, the entire book has an underlying theme of Jesus being better than. There's so many scripture in Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 1 and 4, the Bible says He's better than the angels. In Hebrews 7 and 19, it says it gives us a better hope. In Hebrews 7 and 22, it's a better covenant. In Hebrews 8 and 6, it's a better covenant with better promises. In Hebrews 9, 23, it's better sacrifices. In Hebrews 10, 34, it's better possession and a longer lasting one. In Hebrews 11 and 4, it's a better sacrifice than Cain. In Hebrews 11 and 16, it's a better country. In Hebrews 11, 35, it is a better resurrection. It's talking about the resurrection of the righteous. In Hebrews 11, 40, it's better for you and for me. It's better for His children. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, it's better than the blood of Abel. So what is one of the primary issues concerning prophecy in the new covenant is simply this. The ancient prophets, the Lord Jesus, and all of these writers all warned us about a particular danger in the last days. Do you know what that danger is? Tell me. False prophets. They all warned us about this false prophet, this danger, which we would be seeking after these so-called prophets. And Jesus said that day would come when you would hear, "Lo, Christ is here." No, Christ is there. And He said, "Do not go to them." Now I realize some of that seems heavy, but let me press it a little farther. Paul said in the latter times we would have folks depart from the faith, giving attention to these deceitful spirits and these doctrines of devils. And then Peter adds in 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, here's what Peter says. He says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words." And the apostle goes on to say that this will be a major temptation for God's people. Have you thought about what's going on in our world? And how that verse applies? And how prophecy applies of what's going on in the day that we live in right now? And the things that are being taught to our children, the things that are being taught in the world in terms of Christ or God or their God, our values. And without pointing to anyone in particular, let me ask a question. Why would any believer need to go to someone else for a prophetic word from the Lord, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way? That's the bottom line issue in the new covenant. The bottom line issue in the new covenant is that I have a personal Lord and Savior. I don't have a hierarchy that I have to go through in order to reach the King of Kings. He is mine. It is personal. Let me remind you, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Because we have Second Baptist Church out on our sign out there, folks, we go to hell just as fast as everybody else. It's not a religion. It is a relationship. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, it says, "For this is the covenant I will make with them. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful unto their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Praise the Lord. The bottom line issue is that you and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have a religion. Okay? Today's world, I'm scared to say Christian. Because that has so many meanings. So what I usually say is Christ follower. I'm a Jesus Christ follower. We have Muslims that will call themselves Christians. We have other religions that will call themselves Christians. We've watered that word down. In Ezekiel chapter 36, you've heard this verse before. I've preached on it before. The Bible says, "Moreover, I'll give you a new heart." It says, "I'll put a new spirit in you, and I'll remove the heart of stone. And I'll replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh, a heart of tenderness, a heart of mercy. And I will put my spirit inside of you." In other words, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, so you will be my people and I will be your God. Ezekiel chapter 36. The prophetic, both of the new covenant for the church, extends to the second coming when Israel will return to the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of what I've shared tonight precludes the gathering of God's people in the church and in the flocks. The gathering of the flocks is the first of all gathering to Jesus. That's why we gather, right? You surely don't come here to hear me. I hope not. But you come here together with the flock, together with Jesus' people, to fellowship with them, to break the word together, to pray together, to sing together. We come here as a gathering of Jesus Christ, His flock, His people. And He's always in the midst of His gatherings. He's always in the midst of His flocks. And actually, the Lord has ordained the flocking of His people. Why? For the purpose of growth. So that we can grow together, so that we can fellowship together, so that we can protect one another, so that we can pray together. He's ordained it that we can come together and we can share our relationship with Jesus together. And so that we can grow with one another. And before I close, before I go, let me share one thing with you. Something Moses said. When Joshua became concerned because two of the elders were prophesying in the camp, but they had not gathered with the other elders, Moses said this in reply. He said, "Are you jealous for my sake?" Would that all the Lord's people be prophets. Think of that. The Lord would put His Spirit upon him. That's what Numbers 11 and 29 says. And what I'm saying to you is, I know I just confused you. I can see the look on your face. Is thank you, Moses. Thank you, Moses. That which you wished come to pass. That God's new creation, His new covenant people, are all prophetic people. We all are. Why? Because the Spirit of Almighty God is within us. It is us. It is our relationship with Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of us. We all have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that alone is true prophecy. That alone is prophecy. So tonight, prophecy in the new covenant. What does that mean? It means that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have the fullest measure of who Jesus is. The moment I become saved, I have all of Jesus that I need. That doesn't mean I'm a small Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm a God. But what it does mean is I have God's fullest measure of who He is. And that's enough. And because of that relationship, I can go directly to the God in which I serve. Because of His new covenant ways and His death upon the cross. Father God, thank You for tonight. Thank You for these that are here tonight, their souls. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, how Paul gives us and John gives us Your Word, Lord, in understandable manners. Lord, that we can read it and we can grasp it. And Father, that we can share it with each other and encourage one another. Father, thank You so much that we have all of You that we need, that You have given it all to us. The full measure, the pleroma. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that we have everything that we need. And Father, now may Your Spirit show up in us and also show up to those around us. Lord, may we be a prophecy. May we share what You are doing in our lives. May we share to others what You are doing for our church, for each other, for somebody around us. May we give You glory for that. Father, thank You so much for Second Baptist Church, the souls that make it up. Thank You for the love in this place. Thank You, Lord, that You're working in our midst. And Father, we give You all the glory for that. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.